Sorry, buddy. Back in trouble. Why can't I be you? Welcome aboard, everybody. It's Get This Around Australia on Triple M. With who? Well, with myself, former Haitian dictator and strongman, Papa Dr. Valia. No, it's not. It's me, Tony Martin. We've got pastry model, Abby Titmus. Oh, it's Ed Cavalier. And happy ending Paramount council worker, Richard Marsland.
Oh, that was fun. I realised at the last minute.
We've got some disturbing reports on the happy ending Parramatta Council compliance officer. Certainly demanding a lot of compliance.
Quite a title.
But let's get straight to TV. What are you guys been... Now, you don't have the Foxtel, do you?
But I have the illegal pirating.
Oh, cool.
And the Xbox.
Yeah.
It works just as well. If not better. Some people say rich.
Fantastic.
Good, thank you. Good to see you on board.
Looking around to see if his lawyer would let him speak. What have you been watching on
The Wire, brother?
Oh, The Wire.
All I watch is The Wire.
Yeah.
Best show ever. It's as if, you know, all of those CSIs and I'm sorry for NCIS fans out there, but I know you're in your 10s and your 20s out there.
Mm.
The numbers don't lie, Rich. The points don't lie.
I know.
Much like Shakira's hips. And the thing is, The Wire blows all these shows out of the water.
Yeah, it certainly does.
They look like romper room.
How's that where they go to
The Wire?
They reconstruct a crime scene. It's like an 8-minute scene.
Yeah.
The only dialogue spoken is the F word.
Yeah, and there's so much in there.
But it actually makes all those dodgy crime scenes on ESI. CSI.
Or ESI.
ESI's word. That's fantastic.
Tell you what.
I don't know what it stands for, but
epidermis was the only E word I could think of.
Epididymis?
We're back into
Euripides.
Oh, should we have an E word contest, Rich?
Can you leave your plums alone for one break, Richard Marsland?
No, check out The Wire. It's out on DVD and it demands concentration.
It expects it, it demands it.
But
it deserves it.
Oh, it pays you back.
With interest, what have you been watching?
I'm just about to finish Lost Season 2.
What?
I really enjoy Lost.
Here's the tip, Rich.
Yeah.
It's all a dream most of the time.
Not a dream.
If it's not a dream, it's a flashback. And if it's not a flashback, it's just people walking around the jungle.
It's not a dream. It's not a petri dish. It's not a time travel situation. They're not going to cheat it. That's what I've heard. But it's really healthy because at the moment, it's right in the middle of the episodes with the computer counting down, this big clock.
Yeah.
And there's nothing healthier for a man who spends 2 hours a day watching numbers countdown. In his spare time to watch computer countdown.
What she don't like to take away.
It's your
good on your rich show.
Have they used my idea yet, reassembling the Gilligan's Island cast and having them bum into them on that island?
Oh, bad idea.
That'd be good.
I'd love that.
Some of them are still living.
Surely.
Just slap the monster over the head with the skipper's hat.
Digitally, they can add these people.
Oh, look, speaking of, we'll get to that. We'll get to what we can do with
it. You watch digital effects.
I love those spooky shows from the late 80s and early 90s.
Oh, yes.
You know this one here?
Yeah.
Spooky gear for one show.
I think it's amazing that whoever that was doing Rodney Dangerfield inadvertently did one of the best Homer Simpsons I've ever heard in my life. And I often think that the Google references don't come in early enough on this show. That's what most of the research that we do about Triple M. People are always going on about too much football, not enough Google, so that's nice.
Well, I like Triple M because I get the references to the Russian novelists I need to get through my work day. And the music variety helps.
Either way.
Here's some more of it on Get This. Silverchair, of course, it is here at Get This on Triple M around the nation. Brought to you by the Nissan Navara. Mm. This huge pulling power. The sexiest, curviest, the blokiest.
I was about to say, hang on a second.
It's got it all, the 4x4, but is it time for legal matters?
I'm free.
Lots of cheap counsel for Get This.
I'm not Mr. Humphreys. I don't know what he's doing in the courtroom, but let's leave him there.
Okay, he's good.
A lot of things we can't talk about in detail.
Sure, here we go. Allegedly.
Yeah.
Just, that should cover us for the next few minutes.
Don't cut and paste that into everything I say. Story that's going around in Victoria. An Adelaide woman will be charged with administering drugs to a prominent Melbourne QC who remains in a critical condition after being found nude and unconscious in a hotel room last Friday.
That'll happen.
He was found by an ex-member of the Gypsy Jokers bikie gang who he was to represent in court. I love it when the most responsible figure in a story is an ex-bikie member who's up on charges. When he's setting the moral example for everyone else in the room.
Taking the high road.
Absolutely. Okay. Can't say any more about that.
Can't we say, didn't he wake up? Didn't the guy wake up?
Yeah. No, I don't think he did.
Rich, can you set this up there?
You pass it over to Rich.
Well, he was unconscious. He was found unconscious in a hotel room in Adelaide.
Yeah, no. Wasn't there a prostitute there, wasn't there?
No, there wasn't.
Okay, there wasn't.
That's when he busted out that allegedly that we heard earlier.
Let's just segue to the next story.
I'm free!
That he woke up and his wife and kids were hanging around.
Well, no, he woke up in hospital.
Yeah. It's just getting worse.
All right,
I also said that without microphones.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, that is true, Rich. There's a big difference.
Less controversial story from Sydney. The happy ending Parramatta Council compliance officer.
How's he going?
Oh, well, there's no more happy endings, apparently.
Oh, no.
He was taking advantage of the huge pulling power of Parramatta's Asian prostitutes. And basically, I was just amazed the schedule he was keeping, the amount he spent. He was estimated to have received a combined $15,000 worth of freebies. See, you think that like health and compliance officer, it would be a boring job.
No, sir.
I love the one where somewhere in this story, he one of the madams called him up and offered him a Christmas present, which I won't describe, but you can imagine.
And he used what? Just tell us one of the words in that sentence of the present. Service?
Yeah, that'll do. Full service. But I love how he was there in 10 minutes. Like a cartoon character.
I need a police escort. Why? Shut up, man. Just give me the car. It's
compliance. I've got the compliance to take care of.
It's an outline of his running body through the wall.
I'm free.
Other legal matters.
Here's a matter for you.
Yeah.
We've started getting some sweet contra.
Oh, so we're getting our own style, yeah. Parramatta style, chonky gear.
Well, let's not say Parramatta style at the moment. We've just been sent some, like, warm delight chocolate cakes.
Yeah.
From the Mockbell Bakeries. And they said, thank you for all your hilarious sketches and pranks at our expense, Mr. Martin. Please enjoy these complimentary warm cakes.
Is it from the Mockbell, the House of Mockbell Bakery?
Yeah. Why don't you have some on there now? See how you go. See how you feel. It's not from the House of Mockbell, but they're real. Look at that. So all I'm saying is that if you want to send us stuff, we will say that it's wonderful,
no matter what it is.
But we won't say the actual product name.
No, but I think we'll have to clear it with someone in white shoes and AFL haircut.
Yeah, okay.
So we do that thing on the show where we declare everything we get for free.
We have to, don't we?
I've had two CDs in over a year.
I can't imagine why. We're so complimentary about the music.
What else did I get? I got a free DVD of The Adventures of Barry McKenzie from
pretty good
people at Umbrella Entertainment.
I got a gala invite to some student theatre, which I'm very happy with.
And three happy endings from Parramatta.
No!
What else is going on?
I'm free!
let's go overseas to Germany. According to a new court ruling, bald men in Germany have no right to state-funded wigs.
Absolutely.
A court rejected an appeal by a man to have the cost of his hairpiece paid for by a health insurer, saying the problem was not unusual enough among men to justify his claim. Mm. It's considered a landmark ruling in the area of state-funded wigs, equaled only by the influential Bill Kelty, Chris Corrigan versus Bastard Boys case currently before the panel.
I'm free!
Did you watch that article, Bastard Boys?
I worked a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, I don't have any view on the politics of it because I just couldn't get past some of the dodgy Aussie acting.
Oh, really?
It was just a few of my least favourite Australian actors. And there's one who I won't say who he is, but in everything he does, a voice like this. Yeah, Simon's Aussie, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You'll see him interviewed at the AFI Awards and he talks like this. Oh, yeah, it's another wonderful performance. Yeah,
treading the boards.
I just find him so unconvincing. But there's a great letter today.
Somebody
is the everyman.
He says, well, you know, he's just an ordinary bloke out there treading the board, and you've got to bring him down.
Someone has written in, Greg Angelo of Baldwin North has furious by Bastard Boys on the ABC, expecting a docudrama I watched with some interest. Real characters were misrepresented. Listen to this. Bastard Boys will join Amadeus. It's a blatant misrepresentation of real people at events for commercial gain. Unlike Salieri and Amadeus, at least the real characters in the waterfront dispute can voice their disapproval. So this bloke knows exactly what was going on with Mozart and Salieri.
He's going to bat for Salieri.
But hang on, if you start applying that standard, well, all of Shakespeare would have to be thrown out the door.
Yeah, very true. What about
Robin Hood would have to go?
What about Paul Mercurio's portrayal of Jesus? How does our Lord and Savior feel about that? And wasn't Dennis Hopper playing Moses in the same production? Ben Kingsley was playing Moses.
More defamatory, libelous performing from our acting friends.
How dare they?
Remember Peter Pan? Oh, that captain.
Oh,
he can't defend himself.
He can't defend himself.
It's real, wasn't it?
I think so.
Look how he's just picked up on Amadeus. Out of all of the true stories that have been told in 100 years of cinema, it's the Mozart story that really got to it. Because he was cutting a fart in that movie.
He was.
Tom Hulce was, I think, Oscar nominated for dropping a couple of farts.
Oh, man, where's Rodney Rood's nominations? Man's never got an AFI in his life.
Been
dropping him for 30 years.
Mozart never tore one off. I'm right after the Murdoch press. Is that enough legal matters?
I'm free.
Let's have some music here. Get this. Somebody walking past the studio with me. And then I decided to leave it in. Love is the battlefield here at Get get this on Triple M.
Maybe watch a battlefield. Yeah. The politics of the film suddenly 30.
Mm. How's that during the break?
Yeah.
Richard Marsden asking our producer Nikki if she's seen certain Jennifer Garner films. Yeah.
What were you saying, Rich? Your favourite bit?
There's a key scene involving that song. It's a fun scene. I took my little sister to see it on her birthday. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed it more than I thought I would.
So you did. Now, what were you saying about the ideas for the mag? You really think she's got some good ideas for magazines?
Well, she's tasked with revamping the magazine because sales are down. It's a fashion magazine or something like that.
Of course it is.
And so she has a high school motif, and it's actually a pretty cool idea. The photos have come out are pretty good. Also,
her ideas to have people photograph in school uniforms.
Yeah, it's like
is that the idea?
A great
that you think is great.
It's not that. It's the motif.
We have inappropriate schoolroom behaviour coming up in the next room.
Next thing you know, I'm found unconscious in a hotel room.
So true. Yeah,
as usual. What did you say the film was called?
Is it 13 Going on 30?
It was called 13 Going on 30 in America. And I love that when local distributors go, people are too stupid in Australia.
They won't get that.
They won't understand that at all. We'd better just call it Suddenly 30.
Better.
So they have to reprint the poster.
Yeah.
They have to redo the opening title at massive cost.
Yeah, but better, much better.
Because people won't get the phrase 13 going on 30. That's too over people's heads, isn't it?
They're flying high in aeroplane.
That's right.
The word aeroplane, people won't know what the hell you're talking
about. That's true. They changed it from airplane to flying high because Australian audiences might think it's a real airport movie.
That's true.
Didn't bother anyone else.
No.
It's one of the biggest hits of the year. Here's an obscure one.
Good.
Deadly Pursuit with Sidney Poitier.
Oh, yeah.
You know that one?
Not Running on Empty.
No, it's called Deadly Pursuit with Tom Berenger. One good scene on a flying fox.
Oh.
It was actually called Shoot to Kill. Came out the week of the Hoddle Street shootings in Melbourne.
Oh,
changed it from Shoot to Kill to Deadly Pursuit.
Oh.
Is anyone listening?
No, they're not.
Let's get back onto legal matters.
I'm free.
This is Chappelle Corby meeting Indonesia's new justice minister, Andy Metalata. And look, it's all smiles. Everyone's joking around.
I'm loving it.
You're the celebrity prisoner, and you're the new justice minister, and everyone's gagging.
How's time going?
Everything's going really well. It looks almost like she was about to be let out. She's going so well. And then the prison warden, I can't say his name, told Mr. Metalata. He mentioned that Corby had written a book. Mr. Metalata asked about its contents. Corby replied, "Oh, it's just about my life here in prison." When asked if he could see it, Corby said, "Oh, haven't kept any copies." The book, My Story, is scathing about the Indonesian justice system and life inside Kerabogan Prison.
There you go.
I love that.
What about those 7 copies on that shelf?
Not mine.
No, that's,
That's a different.
That's a different book I've wrapped in my cover.
That's Ruth Cracknell's My Story. That's a different one. So is the book? Could I get it on the internet?
No,
it'd be out of print. I reckon. Wouldn't bother to try and get that.
Yeah, I've got a copy of Lolly Scramble here if you'd like. Very whimsical anecdotes in there.
No prison gear.
No.
Anyway.
No prison gear in yours.
Wuss.
It took my time working in advertising. You know,
that's pretty scary. Okay, is that enough legal matters?
I'm free.
I got one more. Yeah, one more.
It is.
A gang of men armed with sledge hammers smashed their way into a Sydney shopping complex early yesterday.
Mm.
This story is from months and months ago, of course.
Yep.
The men smashed the front glass doors of a shopping centre in blah, blah, blah. Police said the men left the scene a short time later empty-handed.
No.
A silver car, a Volkswagen Golf, found at the scene was impounded yesterday. So hang on a sec. So essentially what's happened is, firstly, it's very stealthy.
Yeah.
That's what I like about it. They've gone, we need to rob some stuff.
Yeah.
Let's go. We'll just smash through the front door and no one will be able to hear that. And then when they got there, they realised, who's brought a bag? Well, I brought a hammer. I also brought a sledgehammer. Oh, I brought a sledgehammer as well.
I thought I was on hammers.
I got the email said hammers for everyone. I didn't bring it. We have really stuffed this up. And then when they tried to leave, they've just walked away. They thought, we should probably walk away from this. Just put a hat on our hammer, pretend it's our little brother. No one will know the difference. So these guys have come out of it. This is their score. Loot, 0. Cars, -1. Well done, fellas.
I'm free.
That's a much sizzled got a friend.
How long have you been sitting on that?
Months time. And you know the funny thing is, it's not, my jokes aren't like wine. Like, they don't get better with time. They just sort of stay like passion pop. Kind of, you know, unfulfilling.
I'm sure the listeners will be disappointed to discover we haven't got time for sport.
There's no time for sport. We're running so late.
And we've got to get to inappropriate schoolroom behaviour. That'll be next.
The question is, are they clueless or deliberately dumb?
That's what it is. Out of the nation on Triple M, I think you'll find. Just been getting a lot of calls from people about movies that had their names changed.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of it about Jim says Encino Man. Paulie Shore, I think.
And Brendan Fraser.
Yeah.
Sean Austin.
That was called, or Aston was called California Man in New Zealand. There you go.
I love it when they.
Why would they forget Encino?
Well, people in Australia knew Encino.
Yeah, New Zealand. No, guys.
Sorry.
I love it when
you think somebody in the AFL haircut and the white shoes out there has to earn their money so they do these things. Like this is how they make themselves feel as though they're doing something.
I guess it's a job. Thinking of new names. What about sometimes they'll change the name for Australia and then they'll forget that they changed it when they put it out on DVD and it'll have the American name.
Oh, like what?
Like Gung Ho, Ron Howard's Gung Ho.
Working Class Man.
That was called Working Class Man in cinemas because they just whacked the Barney song under the opening credits.
Wonderful.
That's a good move.
That's a good
move.
Do that more often.
That's in there. Now we're getting something.
They can hit Requiem for a Dream and
put Anthony Galea, The Prayer, underneath the star.
No, Funky Junkie.
Oh, even better.
Even better.
That'd work. All right, enough of that obscure talk. Let's have some music. Let's have the new one from Powderfinger. This is Lost and Running. Here's the church, the unguarded moment. Here's Powderfinger. From the new album, Dream Days at the Hotel. Existence, that's coming soon. Let's get this around the nation on Triple M. Get this brought to you by the massive pulling power of the Nissan Navara. And, oh, talking about massive. What about the Bacon Phil Get This podcast?
What's in it time?
40 minutes of, you be the judge what it is. Podcast 83 contains all Tony's plums.
Oh, that was very disturbing.
TV Week or Cavalry. Angus Sampson's name drop challenge. That was a bit of fun the other day. That's in there. Guzzy coming by in the next hour.
Guzzy.
To finish, because you just never get enough Guzzy time when you've already started. Celebrity sex tips. And then it says, track 8, does Richard Marsland enjoy sex with Anne?
Yeah, that was an expose.
Last week we had, is Richard Marsland on Australia? Yeah, I love that this morning. Like, Richard was kind of put out by that.
Yeah.
And I'm going, look, I'm talking about my plum ultrasound.
Yeah.
Ken Cavalli suffering through the indignity of donkey courtroom.
Yes.
I didn't mean to sound put out.
We're all in the same boat.
Absolutely.
That's right, listeners. Donkey courtroom. Due to numbers of requests like we've never had before.
Awful.
Probably the worst thing we've ever done.
You think?
Is on the podcast at the end. It's like a bonus track, so it doesn't eat into quality bacon time.
It's the revolution number 9 of the podcast.
And we spent hours and hours editing and tidying up our podcast. We go to way too much trouble, but Donkey Courtroom is untouched.
Oh, no.
As it went to air.
Podcast.
This is free. Go to the Triple M
website. Yeah, check it out. Good on your time.
Go to iTunes. It's all free.
Yeah.
It's just for the goodwill.
It's free.
I'm spending too much time and trouble on something.
But we don't get nearly as many hits as the Tree Friends. And is it the Sex Tips?
Sex Tips is at number 2 on iTunes.
Yeah.
Sex Tips are a podcast.
That's what we need, the Sex Tips.
There are celebrity sex tips in our latest one. Have we talked about it enough? Let's go climbing. Today's topic. I'm worried about this. Ed Cavalier has written down this phrase, inappropriate teacher behavior.
Yeah.
Not that kind of inappropriate behavior. We're just talking about more.
What?
Hijinks.
Hijinks, that's it.
Well played.
Jewelry, skylarking,
yes.
Mucking about down the shallow end. Nothing illegal. Well, what are you talking about? Why are we doing this?
There's a few reasons that we're doing this. My grandparents filed a lawsuit over broke back in class. The girl and her grandparents have sued the Chicago School Board, blah, 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 blah. saying that the teacher showed them Brokeback Mountain in class. They're wanting $500,000 in damages. The girl says that she was traumatized. In a statement, she said, "It was horrible. I couldn't understand a word he said. And then he put this makeup on to look older. His daughter was clearly older than him. We'll never recover."
He was doing the mayor. I wore a beard to be that woman.
Doing that voice. His main inspiration. That's it. Evidence that I remember when we were at school, I had a teacher who shall remain nameless for various reasons, who showed us less than zero when we were in year 8.
Really? This is
warning. And then we had a discussion afterwards about the themes and what happened. And do you remember that scene where Robert Downey Jr. has to go and kind of prostitute himself out for a while? Yeah. He's got a drug debt?
Sure.
It was a long... We stayed back during lunch to get the full explanation of that.
In 750 words, compare and contrast the two different versions of Hazy Shade of Winter, Simon and Garfunkel or the Bangles.
What have we learned from that movie, class? Don't get a really good book and cast Andrew McCarthy in the lead of the movie.
And then we watched this movie too, and then he followed that up with, do you remember that there was a film, as it was supposing that there was a nuclear holocaust today, and the film was set in the next week after it had happened.
Oh, the day after?
Yeah.
I think that might be.
Well, we're in year 8.
Oh, great.
And he said that he's closing, we're all walking out, Clark, remember, every time you see a plane go overhead, it could be holding a nuclear payload. So, I'll see you after lunch.
No, wake up to yourselves.
Get a grip.
We had, we would see, Hamlet and One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, whatever was on the syllabus. But the school had one print for, like, if sport was cancelled, was rained out. They had a print of The End. The End, which is a film directed by Burt Reynolds.
Oh, right.
Starring Burt Reynolds and Dom DeLuise.
Oh, yeah. A morbidly obese man, is it?
No, that's Fatso.
Oh, sorry.
Directed by Anne Bancroft. Thank you. But The End, as I remember it, is a comedy about suicide.
Here's something to show to the kids at school. Laugh it up, kids.
It's got Dom DeLuise. I can't remember much about it. I swear this is a real movie. It's called The End. Okay.
There you go.
Would have preferred Cannonball Run 2, obviously.
Really?
Honestly? I don't think DeLuise has a cape in the end. I like him caped up. Caped up and cracking out the bloopers under the end credits. So I don't know if that's inappropriate, but that's the kind of thing you're talking about, right? Is that what we want?
Yeah, that's what we're going for.
Okay.
We're not going for the kind of thing that happened to my friend when he was at school.
Yeah, but do we need to hear
it? What do we need to know?
What do you reckon? Yeah, let's just see what happens. Let's just say it.
Here's something. Okay, my school's art teacher was constantly at war with, the management of the school about his unconventional teaching methods. And I remember we came in one day and he was drunk and he'd been there all night blowing stuff up in the kiln. Just getting things to put in the kiln. Starting with bits of pottery and then just moving on to the overhead projector. We never saw him again.
We had one of my teachers, he used to have this great trick where he'd have like sort of, he'd buy a sports car, but he wouldn't buy the latest one. He'd buy one about 5 or 6 years old, but it was still cool.
Right.
Like he was rocking a Ford Capri in the late 90s, holding on to the dream.
Right.
And he had this trick where all of a sudden he'd be dating one of the year 12s that had just left a few months after they graduated.
Right, right.
And you weren't meant to say anything.
Okay.
Like, so you'd be at a bar and he'd roll up with what's her name, and you'd be like, well, surely someone should be getting charged over this. But apparently it was all cool because he'd done the groundwork when she was at school.
Okay.
But hadn't consummated until they'd left.
Yeah, so this is the area,
right?
This is the area we've got to be careful
about.
So
we've got to watch that area.
Inappropriate teacher behaviour at your school, Mr. Martin?
Interesting, the punishments that used to be dished out before there were laws about this kind of thing.
Mm.
Because they would get very creative.
Oh, yeah.
Did you spank yourself?
I never spanked myself, but I was spanked in primary school also.
And on the Bessie Bardot show several times.
And but one on school camp one time, there was a kid playing up. So the teachers all ganged up on this one kid, and this is terrible. They tied him up with gaffer tape and his hands and legs, and put him on a raft in the middle of the lake. That's outrageous.
That'll learn
him. You could not do that to
Welcome back.
Yeah.
All right.
Just, Peter Swanson got sent home from our Year 7 camp for standing up in the middle of... He had a brainwave. We were all eating lunch, and he put his fork down. It was around the time of the 40-hour famine. Put his fork down, stood up on the table and went, everyone, the 40-hour F-word, we can do it.
That's
much out of there.
Well, no, not the kids. it's got to be the teachers, and we'd like it to be legal.
Yeah.
Okay,
give us a call, 133353.
Let's get to Triple J here, get this on Triple M. The emphasis is on education at the moment in this country. What are the teachers up to here?
Hi, Simone.
Hi, how are you?
We're excellent. What happened?
Well, in year 11 and 12, we were all about 16, 17. We used to have a teacher who used to be a bouncer outside of ours. So he'd let us all into the nightclubs. You know, we'd sneak in when we were 16, 17. And then during the week, he'd teach us legal studies.
To get into the classroom.
No, not at all.
You're on the list? Yeah. Nice work, Simone. And kept relatively clean. Congratulations.
No worries.
Thank you.
Have a nightclub going. Look, if you've got some ecstasy, share it with everybody.
Absolutely. Did you bring it up for everyone, did you?
Are you chewing?
Oh, good one, Tony. Hi, Michael. How are you? What happened, mate?
I had a year 12 theatre teacher who was always getting into trouble.
Oh, yeah.
She had a wonderful sense of humour.
Yeah.
One day she had the Queensland Performing Arts Theatre makeup specialist come in and do an open festering wound on one of the girls.
Oh, fantastic. And then?
She thought it was so realistic, she sent us straight up the office to report the injury.
There was a music teacher at my friend's school that insisted every time there was school photographs, he would come dressed as a bee. And he said, this is what I've chosen to wear today, and you must photograph me as such.
Well, thanks, Michael.
Thank you, Michael.
Like a festering wound to add a bit of levity to a boring school day. Who's going next?
Hi, Ross.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Excellent, mate. What happened?
Mate, on the Central trip many, many years ago, one of the students decided to be a bit annoying, a lot annoying.
Yeah.
So the teachers, after about 3 or 4 days of this, decided to set this kid up on a lawn chair, tape his arms and legs to a lawn chair, set him about 100 metres apart from everybody else, and then put a lamp between his legs, like a lamp. So if you can imagine this train outback, and one lamp and about 800 million insects.
He was represented by Major Michael Morey and investigation.
There you go, Ross. That'll learn him. It's very creative.
Oh, look, you know, it sounds extreme, but I know a lot of people who need to be strapped to a lawn chair with a lamp in the middle of the outback.
Fair enough. Hello, Will. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Excellent, sir. What happened?
I've got two stories, one about my German teacher and my commerce teacher.
I will take German.
The German teacher, she was this hot teacher. She started to give us present when she left on her last day.
Yeah.
Started to teach us every single swear word in German in case we went to Germany.
Does La Piscine mean what I think it does? Mademoiselle.
And should we ask about this commerce teacher?
Our commerce teacher, he used to go out and drink the night before school every day.
Yeah.
And then he'd been out for a drink because he'd come to school the next day wearing sunnies, and he'd wear them throughout class as well. He went throughout formal, and then the next day you found him in the gutter.
Oh, I love them. Studying commerce. Right, if I had three bourbons and coke.
Okay. Thank you, Will. Thank you, everyone that called in.
And
that was a good one. We're running horribly late,
so
we didn't get to put everyone to air. So we'll do that again. That was fun.
Too much fun. That's the problem. Yeah. And good to see no legal trouble.
Yeah, not bad.
I thought that was going to end very badly.
I kind of hoped it would, actually, just a little bit.
In the next hour, we've got him back. Wanted him back, listeners.
Dorsey
Sampson.
The homegrown showgirls are proving popular with audiences and are performing to packed houses every night.
You're Michael Bublé.
No, that's your
Mr. G is doing his version of the five tapes to say, I told you so.
Yeah, wow. I know that Tony only ever sings in it.
Okay. Yeah, I can't explain that. Hey, do you have a catchphrase like that, Angus? Because we were talking off air how you can copyright certain phrases. What were you saying, OJ? Let's talk about this.
You tried to copyright OJ.
The letters OJ. So that if you put out an orange juice product, you would have to literally play OJ Simpson.
Well, the reason I don't know if this is planned or whatever, but I've been reading about this guy, Michael Buffer.
Yeah.
You know who Michael Buffer is, though? He's the gentleman who says, let's get ready to rumble!
On the right to that.
Well, he has a page on here which are called Rumble Rewards. That's rumble.com. The Buffer Partnership now offers a financial reward to those who report a corroborated unauthorized use resulting in an actual recovery of the Let's Get Ready to Rumble, Get Ready to Rumble, or Ready to Rumble service mark tasers and any paraphrasing of these marks. Including Get Ready to Crumble. Are you ready to rumble? Let's Get Ready to Gamble. Or use of Michael Buffer's famous rendition of his copyrighted Let's Get Ready to Rumble record.
I reckon you owe him about $7,000 just on that last.
How is that? You did not know I was going to talk about
Let's
that.
Get Ready to Crumble. So even like bastardization, take his convention. Let's Get Ready to Ramble. Bushwalkers are in trouble.
Bushwalkers.
There's a Let's Get Ready to Wamble
on his website. It's a craft.
Well, it's like Paris Hilton copyrighted the site. Now, that's hot. You know, that's good because as global warming increases, more people will be using it. Oh, that's hot. No, it's 25
cents. You're on the ground floor on that phrase.
Hey, we're not even into the show yet.
We're running
late. Okay. That's the goodie. What is it? When he comes in, and we love it. So let's have some music. We're back with more because in a moment I'll get this. Get this on Triple M, where we're always on for a bit of
Pussy Samson.
And we did get finished with him the other day. Give him a round of
applause. We're back from a bit of Dave Gray.
Did he call you back?
No. Last week, we rang Ugly Dave, and I was really hoping that when it went to his message bank and Tony started talking him, impersonating A&R.
Yes.
I was really hoping that you'd just hang up like Mars Bar and come in with Hotel California or something.
I've ruined it for you.
And then it's like, and here's the Angus Samson.
Clean up the bed.
Hello, David. Angus Samson.
Although we had Jane Alsop here yesterday.
How was she?
Well, some of the people who are in the film are cooperating with the film, like Nolan Brown.
Okay.
So maybe Ugly Dave's, you know, giving you a wide berth for those reasons.
Well,
as opposed to me spoiling it for you.
I would only think that Dave may not be into the project because he wasn't featured enough in it.
Yeah, that's true. But what there is, and goal.
That's good.
This is a bit weird. It's a great shot where the ratings come in for Blankety Blanks and they just cut to Guzzi and they go, cool. Fun
That was just an improvised line. They just went, yeah, great, we'll do that again, thanks. You know when sometimes you're on set, Edward, you'll know this, where for whatever reason, they haven't called the cut.
Oh, I love those moments.
Yeah, for whatever reason, they're like, whether or not it's, you know, they're holding on it for a moment. Yeah, and that was a moment where we were just sort of, we're filming it in the ABC TV Melbourne studios, where I used to work on a show called Recovery there, and it was great to go back. And but it was really empty and sparse, and the extras were like, what are we doing? And it was cold, and no one really knew what was going on. And when they rehearsed that scene, there was no one said anything for ages, and I just went,
use it.
So like, that's it, and of course it's in.
Well, two things. Firstly, we should point out that Guzzi is being attacked by his own dog during this interview.
Winston, beautiful Winston's here, and with his new chicken.
Yes, he's very happy with his new chicken. That's not a real chicken. That's a stuffed chicken.
It's a stuffed chicken.
And you say filming the theme set at Channel 9 at the ABC. Why didn't they film them at Channel 9? Especially given that Channel 9 are one of the investors in the show and whose logo appears at the beginning.
Well, you used to do that on the late show. You used to go to Channel 9 a lot.
Yeah.
Was that because they passed on?
Oh, but there was No, well, we shot the pilot, at Channel 9, and then they said it would never work, so we went to the ABC, and still shifting units.
Thank you.
I love that. We didn't get any of the cash from it, but they're still shifting.
Chalk one up to you, Martin.
Well, there's a television program that I believe is still on Australian Airways called One versus 100.
Yes.
And they showed that at Studio 7 at Docklands in Melbourne. That's on Channel 9. Yeah,
really?
That, because the set is so large. Channel 9 filmed that at Channel 7. And also, here, shout out to Channel 31. And
Channel 31 shoot Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
Fascinating.
All of Water Rats was shot at Channel 31. Stuff at sea. Just in a tiny red tank. A couple of lights and some blue paint.
A couple of guys with buckets just chucking water at them every
day. We are talking complete nonsense. Let's get back on the track. I know Guzzi's got a couple of bombshells from the internet. Let's do that next on Get This. Suddenly I see here at Get This around the nation on Triple M, Angus Sampson and Dog with us today. What have you been watching on the telly, you were saying, Angus?
Well, the reason I got onto this person, Michael Buffer, I didn't get onto him. He is the tuxedo ring announcer.
Mm. If you had got onto him, he would have said, it's time to rumble.
he's got his own poker. You can play poker via his website. I probably shouldn't be advertising that.
No.
But I did happen to spend an evening at home the other night with one of my housemates, and we were flicking through Foxtel, and he said, go back to that. Go back to Fox 8. I'm like, what? He said, you've got to see the show. Man versus Beast.
I watched it yesterday.
Oh, what is that? I haven't seen
it. It's tremendous. Go, Guzzi. Talk us through it.
Well, I wasn't sure if you'd seen it.
No.
I presumed that Anne had, was across it, and I thought Marth might even be in the second one. I've got a page of it up for you to be able to read.
This is from the Wikipedia. Man versus Beast is a series of sensationalistic TV specials aired in the United States. Blah, blah, blah. Blah, blah, blah. They involve a variety of challenges in which people and animals compete against each other.
Yep.
Oh, wow. See, although the initial special was heavily panned by critics and animal rights groups, Fox commissioned a sequel, Man vs. Beast 2.
The thing that I saw was the world eating champion, Kobayashi.
Yes, that's right.
Now, he has never lost an eating competition until now.
Mm-hmm. When he took on Ed Cavalli.
He took on a Kodiak bear.
Yeah.
He took on an Alaskan bear, and I really wanted to play some sound bites of it. Suffice to say, the host of the show is Michael Buffer, then Let's Get Ready To. His one of this one was, Let's Get Ready To Eat Meat. That was the first thing I saw.
You noticed in the bit, though, when in that segment, because Kobayashi, at the start, he's quite confident. They're eating sausages, I think, like little frankfurts, hot dogs. And Kobayashi's in his rhythm, and he's beating the bear. And the bear kind of is chomping along, and I think the bear tweaks to what's going on. Mm. The bear gives Kobayashi a look, and then just pours more frankfurts than you'd ever hope to have at a 15-year-old's birthday party, straight down the throat, and he wins. It's amazing.
A group of 44 midgets lost a race against an Asian elephant to see which could pull a commercial jet a certain distance first.
You guys will be putting this on the Get This website if you do want to check it out.
But how is that a match? Someone's gone 44 midgets equals one elephant.
What they did say was little people.
Yes, of course they did.
No, but the commentary was very funny. They had a lot of little, and I saw some little people not pulling their weight.
Absolutely right. Some of them at the back.
They're like, once they get over the inertia, it's the race to the end. those were some of the commentary. They do a sort of a Rocky-esque setup with Kobayashi v. the bear, which they call the Alaskan Cruncher, I believe. there's a bit of poetic editing in there, like at the end of the race, which starts when the bear eats the first sausage. They cut to the bear, giving him a roar just to rub it in,
giving him some.
Like an exclamation of I've won. They've hung flags behind Kobayashi, a Japanese flag and an American flag behind the bear to try and instill It's surrounded by electric fence.
It is. It looks like the Running Man. It looks like the Running Man. That's the bit. The arena looks like the Running Man.
And the commentary has got to be heard to be believed. But that is one segment of it. Another one. It is the little people, 44 little people against the elephant.
Mm.
If you do want to see the result, I think it'll probably go up.
It's a landslide victory, though.
But there's a sprinter who takes on two animals. What sort of animals do you think, Mars Bar, that a sprinter would take on?
A gazelle? Something like that? Close.
A cheetah?
A giraffe.
A giraffe.
Giraffe.
Obviously, which the human wins hands down.
Very slow out of the blocks, the giraffe.
It's all that neck.
And he doesn't realise he's in a race as well.
He doesn't realise he's in a race. Oh, that's what they say about the bear. The bear doesn't realise this is a competition.
The giraffe won by head. It didn't even move. Stretched forwards.
And then, because it was such a, you know, convincing win, the sprinter, you got a sense of, like, Ashton Brothers, you got any other animals in the
place? Yeah.
Well, it's got a Shetland.
What are we going to do?
They bring out a zebra.
That's right.
They bring out a zebra, and sure enough, once again, he's on its start, and the human's on the starting blocks. The zebra's in a cage, similar to a greyhound. They release the zebra, which you might add gets a good start. He gets trounced. Then it cuts to Carl Lewis, who's the roving Mike, is like, what's your problem? To the sprinter, goes, well, listen, the zebra broke. He started complaining. He was going, Ziggy or whatever the zebra's name is, referring to by, you know, Stardust actually had it's kind of clear that it got out of the box. I was still on my head. So they had a rematch.
Yeah.
He demanded a rematch. It was better than any Maurice Green or, any of that sort of anti. So they had a second race. And I won't tell you the result, but suffice to say, the human got a great start in the second sprinter.
Yeah. Well, how fast do you think a zebra is, Rich? Because it looks like a slow horse.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it doesn't look like your thoroughbred.
They've got a lot of rump.
A lot of hind quarter push.
Yes. 60, 70 k's an hour?
You have to wait and see.
Richard Martin does spend a lot of time checking out zebras' asses. So
you know that the notes of zebras are the same. That's easy. They're like fingerprints. Zebra patterns are the same as humans' fingerprints.
Takes a long time to dust a zebra. Scott Helverson, who's a Navy SEAL. Oh, this is a beauty. I saw this. It was him won a race against a chimpanzee through an obstacle course. And he destroyed him. We were out in the desert in Nevada. And
who are you going for? Be honest.
The chimp. Okay. The chimp, because the chimp has a little bit of sort of like histrionics at the start.
So they're running. I thought they might have been driving.
Honestly. The chimp's got the cigar. Eastwood's riding shotgun. No, they've been orangutan. But at the start of it, he's a 37-year-old Navy SEAL. So he's pretty fit, but maybe he's starting to lose it. You know, maybe he's had his heyday. And the chimp starts, and the first one is a rope climb. So they kind of go up the rope. And the chimp has...
He doesn't know what to do.
That's what...
He's an idiot.
When he gets to the rope, the chimp kind of looks around, starts chewing it, and you can see the trainers going, up, and the Navy SEAL beats him. But there's this weird moment at the end where he wins the race, and he goes, yeah!
In your face!
He starts giving the chimp something.
Yeah. Evolution! That's where it ends up.
All right, that is Man versus Beast.
Man versus Beast. I don't know when the second one's on. It's an older show, but just finally, there is a sumo wrestler taking on in the tug of war.
That was fantastic.
Cage fighting? Any cage fighting?
Not yet, Rich.
Man versus Beast. You probably could get to it via this website.
Yeah.
What about a wrestler and fire ants?
Just something. I don't know. There's a mismatch.
There's so many we could come up with. That's probably a good phone in right there. But hey, we've got to save the Australian film industry.
Yeah.
You want to help us with that?
Sure. I've been doing my best to ruin it by accepting jobs for years.
Fueled by a cocktail of toxic chemicals.
Groundnation on Triple M, Angus Sampson is with us. You were here the other day, Angus, and you mentioned that you've been back and forth to the States and you've had some good news and there wasn't time to find out what it is.
I'll tell you off air.
Oh, okay.
But
we always do this. We constantly ask about things you can't talk about. Like that Spike Jones movie. Have you seen any of it yet? You wouldn't even be able to answer that, would you?
I have seen some of
them. What have they done to you?
You can't say. Caption my good, sorry. Ed's just opening something in front of us. Sorry, Tone. But I'm actually getting distracted that someone sent him.
Yeah, food, probably.
Well, it's food.
Yeah, it is food.
Somebody...
called Paul has come in and said he's given me a box, right? And it's a Milky Bar Crackle box. You know how much I love Milky Bar Crackle. It's all the deliciousness of Milky Bars with the added crunch of rice bubbles. It's genius, right? And it's simplicity, Rich. Just it's the merging of textures. You think that never the twain shall meet, but they do. So anyway, so I'm expecting something delicious. I open it up, and it's a box of sand.
I thought it was brown sugar.
No, that's sand.
That's a computer, according to the internet.
Yeah.
That was one of the things that happened while you were away. A bloke was convicted of selling boxes of sand on the internet and claiming they were computers.
Yeah.
Wow.
So Paul decided, and I got all excited. I was like, Gliss, do you want a Milky Bar Crackle? And he said, I'd never have one, but I'd like to. So thanks, Paul.
All right. Thanks very much.
Well, you're going to say you've got strong opinions about confectionery, Angus?
I do. I was actually separate to this going to ask you what your favourite chocolate bar was.
Can I ask you something, Goose? What's your position on clinkers?
My beautiful girlfriend loves them. I buy them for her all the time. I also get clinkers, which are black and gold version of... cheaper version.
Okay. Speaking of clinkers and clunkers, let's talk about Australian movies. That's what we're here to talk about. Now that you've got this good news that you can't talk about, I'm saying that you're further up the industry ladder. You're an industry guru, nay, Mandarin.
He's a green light guzzy.
Green light guzzy.
Yeah. You're going to green light a few things with
your help. We're going to get the listeners to call in with great pitches for Australian movies, and you can just put in your 2 cents worth and maybe pull some strings and get a mate.
I was going to ask you, are you writing another film? Are you writing another feature?
I did make another film called Boytown Confidential.
That's
for
right.
The DVD of Boytown, and it's not being released.
But I thought you told me it was the best stuff you've ever done.
Yes.
If you're a Tony Martin fan, well, then that's going to be amazing. We've got to get a petition happening or something.
I think there might already be one on nerdsville.com, wherever that is. But that's the whole... We're sizzling up that controversy for later in the year because our lives have so little meaningful activity. We've got to space it out over the year. Yeah. But what I'm saying is, you know, a lot of Aussie films don't have appealing pitches. Here's this one coming out now. It could be brilliant.
Yeah.
It stars Eric Banner. It's directed by Richard Roxburgh.
Yeah.
It's called Romulus, My Father. I don't know anything about it. It may be excellent, but listen to how it's described in this morning's Age.
Oh, dear.
This is in the Age this morning. Romulus, My Father, is an unremittingly sad story of an immigrant couple both beset by depression. Now...
Pass a popcorn.
It may be great. There have been excellent films on that very theme, but, more sizzle required.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if that's the... I guess I'm to add a touch of seriousness to it, but it's how it is packaged. I guess there's an expectation that the films will be a derivative and a generic that you can package, you know, that then you can open a daily newspaper and they can hang a picture of, you know, a recognisable actor or actress, and they can say it's Cliffhanger meets Picnic and Hanging Rock.
Cliffhanger meets Picnic and Hanging Rock. So Miranda would be abseiling. See, now there's a great idea right there.
Good on you, guys.
Already, we're kicking off.
Cab off the ring. Do you guys know John Lithgow or his presentation? We could get him out.
What's your pitch here, Cavalier? Come on, try it out.
Now, listen to this. I've got this from the world of television and telemovies and such. And in the States, they're all lording it up because Australians are doing so well. Australian beauties, it says in the paper today, Miranda Otto and Frances O'Connor, were two of the lucky ones as Kashmir Mafia was picked up by ABC over there. Described as the thinking woman Sex in the City mixed with the wit of The Devil Wears Prada from Darren Star.
Okay.
Sweet. I know how much he's getting paid for that, too.
See? He's a Mandarin.
We have the same agent now.
So I'm going to pitch this. From the team that brought you Up Late with Hot Dogs comes a new drama setting the hectic world of advertising. Ben Lawson from Neighbours plays a street-smart pre-ops who's unlucky in love. Over 80 weeks, see this gender-bending fish out of water find love in all the wrong places.
Goosey has his head in his hands.
So when you say Josh's brother, is it?
Yep.
He's actually attached. He's committed to this project.
Big time.
Okay. Who have you got directing it?
You.
You're the Tony.
It's either you or Rich or Marsland. It's Marsland's directorial debut.
Marsland.
Now, what do you need to get this film made? Money?
Well, Ben needs to have some operations because he's going to have to be pre-op. So I'm going to need money for, hormones. I need a set for an advertising agency.
And you need hell to freeze over.
I'm going to say, just before the listeners we start taking any of their calls, all they have to do is just have, a two-line pitch. The school of pitching that Tony will be able to back me up on this is, you need to be able to say it in one line.
Yeah. See, for example, my one is simply Quigley Down Under again. Again. It could be as simple as that. Give us a call with your pitch for Green Light Guzzi, 133353. Collectors, do you see what I see? Get this on Triple M. Brought to you by the Nissan Navara with its huge pulling power. Do these movie pitch ideas have huge pulling power? Green Light Guzzi Samson will decide that. Who's got one, Ed?
Hi, Peter.
How you going?
Great. What's your idea, brother?
It's called Euphemisms, The Life and Times of a Funeral Director.
Oh, how does that work?
Well, I was a funeral director for 7 years.
Yep.
And I got some great stories.
Yes.
It's based around a few characters and things like this. Old bloke used to work there, knew everything.
Yep.
And he was showing us once how he had this pacemaker and he put the two ends together in the other side of the mortuary.
Sorry.
A few characters. Who's gonna play you?
It's a bit of a dead end job, but
Has there been much of this kind of stuff that was obviously 6 feet under?
Mm. I was just wondering, is there a site on the internet where I can sort of get the basis of a script so I can actually turn into a script?
Yes, you could go to Brian Brown's site.
Brian Brown's site. Well, who do you want to play you, Peter? Who would you like to play you?
Oh, good question.
Realty?
I don't know.
Guzzi?
Maybe Gussie.
Dan Wiley's a very versatile actor.
He's handballing it on. Yeah. That's not a good start. I don't know if we're going to go with euphemism. Who else has got a pitch?
Thank you, Peter. Hi, Jason. How are you?
Hello.
Mate, what are you pitching?
All right, that's called Jerry and Bill, the shit genie.
What happens?
Basically, Jerry's your typical Aussie bloke, you know, a bit of a home handyman specialist. So he sends the wife and kid off to the mother-in-law's for a week while he's supposed to stay home and build the extension on the house.
Yeah.
First day out, he's out digging post holes, as you do, and he comes across Bill, the shit genie, and it's stuck in his lamp.
You've got a really good chance.
I can really see Angus playing the genie.
Make sure you pitch it before the end of the financial year. For that,
I do have the idea copyrighted, though.
There you go. Good idea. So now when you say he's clearly an inadequate genie, what sort of stuff does he do wrong?
Well, everyone has the misconception of what genies can and can't do. And, Bill's role in life is to sort out people's misconceptions. Plus, he's been stuck in the lamp for a good couple of hundred years, so he's a bit out of date with modern society. But, he basically can't do things like world peace, end famine, all things like that, because everything has a nasty twist to it.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be very careful on your three wishes, because they'll probably bite you in the ass.
Could you not ask for unlimited wishes?
Well, that's one of the wishes you can't wish for. He's got a contract longer than your arm.
Yeah. I always, even as a kid, I knew you'd have to get lawyers in to do their three wishes there properly.
It sounds like something Brendan Fraser might do.
All right, Bill the Shitini. Can we go better than that?
Guy, how are you?
Very well, thank you, Ed.
What do you got?
I've got a buddy comedy. I'm describing it as Deadwood meets Big Trouble in Little China on the 19th century Ballarat goldfield.
It's a Sovereign Hill kind of version of Deadwood for starters. But
we're watching you get John Nando, and you've got basically your Rush Hour buddy comedy right there.
Oh, are those on board?
Have you a rating that you go? Is it going to have the same colourful language as Deadwood?
Well, I think we could throw in a few C words here and there to keep the hunters happy.
Just to keep them happy. You know what the people want, Guy. That's C words. Well said.
See, that's thinking on your feet in a pitch meeting. I really didn't have any C words, but we'll throw some in if necessary.
Put them in the title.
I like that. I like Big Trouble in Little China.
Trouble in Little Ballarat.
In Little Ballarat. Could we... The real test of a great story is that it doesn't need to be set in Ballarat.
that's
an old film maxim. Could the story take place outside of Ballarat? And that's what happened with Die Hard. You know, they were going to set that at the Ballarat Town Hall.
It's true.
And they
couldn't get it.
They shifted it to Nakatomi Plaza.
In Geelong, if need be.
Why don't you go to Geelong and have it take place in the Sphinx?
You're a very malleable guy.
Very, very nice. One more pitch, please.
Simon, are you there?
Yep.
What's your pitch, mate?
Along the lines of Cannonball Run across the Nullarbor.
Yeah.
But instead of having actors, have comedians.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Who are you thinking?
Well, I'm not sure, but Dom DeLuise, you could...
He'd be willing to cape up.
Yes.
Yeah, you could have Peter Rose Thorn, you could have them all.
Yeah, it just sounds a bit too much like Yobbo's Up the Guts, though. that film was being shot last year with Warwick Capper
and Bill Hunter. Hunter took over the role.
Chopper Reed as one of the policemen.
That's it. Oh, that's it.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Chopper Reed. No, well, he's already done, is it Trojan Warrior with Stan the Man Longinides? And Chopper Reed plays the character of Eric Banner.
Well, here's my question to you, Simon. Could it take place outside of Ballarat?
Well, you could go through Ballarat.
There you go. You always have the guts. I love that, as you say, Bill Hunter took over directing, and nothing has been heard since. We can get nothing. Go on to Google, type in Yobbo's Up the Guts. Nothing. Even the nerds have got nothing.
He was
going. Bill Hunter could run one of the pubs.
Of course, he could run all of them.
True.
Every pub they turn up, there he is in a different hat.
He was going to go. I know my only story I have of Bill Hunter was that he was. His wife had organised for him to go on This Is Your Life.
Mm.
And he was sitting there with a tinny in Sydney. He was near the opera house and was like, there's no bloody way I'm going on that. You know, like, unaware that they were about to storm in. You know, Mike Munro was out in the hallway about to come in and go, Bill. And literally his wife walked over and just rang. You know, literally only about 30 or an hour, minutes, you know, an hour away from actually surprising him.
Yeah.
So I had to call off This Is Your Life for Bill Hunter.
I heard there was a flurry of bad language when Bill Hunter was confronted by Mike Munro.
Really?
Yes, I think on the, I hate to make it sound like a plug, but on the commentary track of the movie Bad Eggs, the Australian film, which was very poorly pitched. He actually tells that story, and there's so many beeps. You actually think that your TV's gone on the fritz. But he did, because Bill Hunter wrote his autobiography, and the publishers... it's so libelous that no one is willing to publish it, but it has a fantastic name. It's about Bill's life as an actor in Australia, and it's called Stand Where, Say What. And no one is going to put it out. All right, that's enough movie talk. Thanks to everyone who pitched. We'll be back with more Guzzi in a moment. I'll get this. Don't be hasty, Jenny. That's Paolo Nutini here at Get This on Triple M. Angus Sampson is with us. We've been talking earlier about cable TV, and you haven't seen any of Police 10-7, have you?
I don't know what it is. I know for a fact that you love it.
Oh,
that's all I know. It's New Zealand.
It's like Cops, but set in New Zealand. And we've had a few requests for a clip we played recently on the show. Have we got that flashback, Richard?
Just when you think every kind of crime has been covered on Police 10-7, they pull something new out of the bag.
Constables Peter Ott and John Chappell have been called in to deal with an unusual complaint.
We just want to sort it out, find out that there's obviously someone here, someone would really make an allegation like this, or, you know, this
thing. A man's been reported masturbating at his bedroom window.
Someone called raping on the seat, see you doing it. It's not good for your family, it's either, so, you know, it's, sort of...
Jack's claiming that he didn't realise the curtains were open and the neighbours are just being vindictive.
Land of the long white cloud. Is it like that? Oh, you know, it's not good for your flatmates either. You're bringing a cloud over them.
Well, if they stand on the balcony, what do they expect?
Don't worry. Oh, it was sorted out. Although it's all pretty strange, all police can do is warn Jack off making a public display of himself.
Did they mean that? They meant it. They must have meant it.
The guy's name was Jack.
possibly an accident.
Crazy.
But then you go, okay, that guy's in a bit of trouble.
Bit of trouble.
But what's he got on the roof of his house?
Outside, John Chappell spots another reason for local unease.
What is it? What, I saw that when I came. What's the go with the flag?
Nazi semen. You into the whole Nazi giggle boy.
Yeah, bro.
Yeah? German all the way, man.
Is that on?
Oh, yeah, bro. I'm into that Nazi gear. German all the way.
He's got a Nazi flag.
So he's standing in the front window of his house, taking care of business, while swastika flies overhead. Welcome to New Zealand.
Wow. Great tour. We need a star maps tour. Yeah, a police 10-7 star map. You get off the plane in New Zealand and then someone hands you a map. Right. First things first this morning, we're going to be seeing the guy in the window with the flag. He's performing at 10, 11, 15, 12, 15. He has a nap after that, but he's back on at 6.
Oh, it's worth from the Crime Investigation Network on cable on Fox Hill, and obviously it's 24 hours, so they need a lot of crime to fill it up. So it's amazing how much they're getting from across the Tasman.
I'll give you one back then. A friend of mine, Alistair Flowers, a marketing guy, a promotions guy in Sydney, and he's bringing out someone. New Year's Eve. His name's Vanilla Ice.
Oh, wow. Really?
Sure. He's bringing out Vanilla Ice. Well, someone's bringing out Vanilla Ice, and he's like, he's, you know, getting him to do a few things for Alistair. He's getting him to do some stuff in Sydney. He sent me a letter that Vanilla, or whatever his real name is, Van Winkle or whatever, has sent to him. And he talks about some of his projects that he's had and he's got coming up. And his latest television project, The Side of the Surreal Life and Celebrity Boxing, is Celebrity Bull Riding.
Vanilla Ice on the back of a bull. How long can he last?
That's up there with the police show. Well, maybe not as good as Jack Off, or if that was his name. But Celebrity Bull Riding is right.
Ed is trying to picture. Vanilla Ice.
All I can picture is people riding Rosie O'Donnell and John Delawitz around an arena while they try and buck them off.
Well, Edward, and my only celebrity, and I'm pretty sure Joe Stanley would do this, is celebrity weightlifting.
Celebrity weightlifting.
I'm serious. Jerk or snatch?
Why would you not get celebrity weightlifting in Australia? I mean, we'd have just a fiscal interest in it. We wouldn't have to, you know, lay claim to it. And we could just have the,
you know,
get him into training. Phelps, you'd be into it.
Phelps, you'd be into it.
Maybe Dingo. He's got a long reach. He'd be great on the snatch.
Laurie Oaks.
We need someone with celebrity weightlifting.
Chris Cranford. Is it Muntz, that jockey? Mm-hmm. The dog, Muntz. The jockey. He's in jail. So he's into weights.
Education Minister Julie Bishop.
Julia Bishop?
I'm serious.
Julia Gillard?
Bindi?
You see how much they can lift at the start of the program.
Great idea.
You train them up, and we imagine the three beeps.
And you have the celebrity people on the light, you have Bob Mirovich on the light.
Gavin Wood could be doing the introduction.
Aussie Joe Budner is one of the judges.
Gavin Wood could be the ready to rumble, except he could make your bar up. Celebrity weightlifting.
Ed Gavley, you could be, you know, this could be your
nutrition.
Yeah, you could have a chat. You could have product placement, whoever makes chalk.
Too many good ideas. This is the latest we've ever run here at Get This. We'll be back to wind things up in a moment.
We just had too much fun out. The film because he's on board for Good Mania, based on the late night show Quiz Mania. Although, in reference to Short Bus and Chris O'Donnell, The Bachelor, never left the
test. That's why we're running so late. Angus, thanks for coming in. Great ideas.
Let's get ready to
come.
Thank you so much for having me. All the good energy to you all. I love your radio program.
And the listeners.
Well, thank you, Angus. Well, where are you off to? You're heading overseas.
Yeah, I'm going to Croatia tonight. And I was hoping to have a call. Where should I go in Croatia?
Well, when we do our 3-hour show, we'll be able to squeeze that in. Thanks again. Thanks to everyone who called up.
Thank you, everyone.
And what was our key phrase? I think it's going to cost money to say it. Do it anyway.
Get to the ready to rock.